I think we make a big positive impact in aviation, and I'm looking forward to that.
This is a special report of the Aero News Network, a conversation with AOPA President and CEO Mark Baker. I'm Glenn Moyer, ANN Aerocast producer, and this special report is brought to you by Redbird Flight Simulations.
Redbird Flight Simulations is dedicated to revolutionizing flight training by designing, manufacturing, and delivering affordable and innovative flight training technologies. Each Redbird device is designed to enhance the training experience for pilots of all levels, from student to ATP. Redbird is quickly becoming the industry standard for flight training. Since Redbird introduced its revolutionary FMX in 2007, colleges, universities, and flight training operations around the world have integrated Redbird products into their curriculum. It's time to discover what Redbird can do for you. Join the migration.
Welcome to Part 3, the conclusion of our special report, a conversation with AOPA President and CEO Mark Baker. In this final segment, ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell explores the organization's previous administration, its Board of Trustees, how Baker was selected for his new position, his compensation, and more. Our conversation with Mark Baker continues. Here again, ANN's Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell.
In your view, what happened to AOPA in the last 5 years?
Well, I think, in fairness, there's quite a lot of different world in every avenue in the last 5 years. If you look at the economy from 07 to now, it required people to react and move, in some cases, very uncertain futures. And I'm very respectful of what today now is the largest general aviation caucus that's ever existed. I think there's been, and I spent quite a bit of time there in the last couple of weeks, I think we've made tremendous progress on the Hill with building friends, and people are more interested in knowledge. So I think there's been a number of really good things that have occurred in a very difficult time where advertising and aircraft sales have plummeted, but again, no different than the boat industry or other recreational industries, if you will. I see this as an opportunity, and the reason I was willing to say, you know what, I hope I can make a difference here is it's a different time next year, and I think if we really focus on our opportunities, I think we make a big positive impact in aviation, and I'm looking forward to that. So, you know, with the questions that you ask about the last 5 years, I'm respectful about it. It's always a different time, and I'm looking forward, not backward.
Okay. AOPA's Board of Trustees are somewhat mysterious to the rank and file. Folks out there really don't know who they are, don't get a chance to interface with them much, and frankly, neither do we in most cases. So there was this big question about who and what was going on when you were selected, because there was not only a lack of transparency in the process, there was very little information. Matter of fact, I think we leaked your name out after one false start early on, but that was pretty much it. If you can you tell us what the Board of Trustees set for you as your performance metrics?
Well, it was an interesting process, and you know, by the way, the trustees is a group of people that volunteer their time. They're very successful people in each and one of their own endeavors. They choose, and I happen to support this, that the Board of Trustees is here to, you know, ultimately make the decision who the CEO for running the organization is. They're not a decision-making body as much as they are, you know, oversight and support or challenge to the management of the organization. So that's no different than I see as a public company board, what their primary role is, and, you know, not necessarily being the front person decision making. So that's, I think, a distinction in how this trustee board views themselves. And again, they are a very competent group of people. Mm-hmm. I think the difference in what I've expected to do with the organization is kind of reset some of the longer term goals and where it fits with members and how I view, as you've heard me say, about the airport, making sure advocacy works for us, putting our energies in probably fewer things, but doing them more completely.
Interesting. One specific item that's come up, and it actually relates to another problem of similar ilk, GE aircraft that take off from U.S. airports and then travel over water have been subject to ATC services, or if they fly multi-leg and day flights without landing U.S. airports, get billed by the FAA, again, for overwater services. To many, this is a blatant user fee. What's AOPA doing to change this ruling by the FAA, something that Congress apparently did not intend when it put these fees in the FAA reauthorization bill package at that point for the airlines?
Yeah, what I know about that is that we're going to continue to ask the FAA how they're coming up with any or all of these charges. We know we need to do things different from a revenue versus expenses for the FAA, but some of these things are coming out of left field. We need to understand who is authorizing and how is that empowered. And I don't think we as the public know enough yet.
In 2010, we did a couple of stories with a focal point by a marvelous editorial by a fellow by the name of Jeff Edwards, where at that point he alerted us on what was happening with these CBP and DHS searches at various airports around the country. All of a sudden, pilots would land and get surrounded and find themselves in having to deal with people, often with guns, with no questions that they could ask being answered, and simply there at that point at the behest of the government. It seems to be that there's a tremendous potential for great harm, because the average GA citizen does not understand when a guy comes up with a search dog or a gun exactly what's going on. What is AOPA doing to follow up on this point? Where is the activity to bring some sanity to these processes if they have to occur, and to minimize the occurrence overall?
Well, I completely support the idea. We need to understand this, and as you probably saw, Congressman Sam Graves has moved forward to get a information request from CBT and what, why, how come, how much, and they have not responded yet. But we continue to support legislatively to find out what is going on here. Now, if it's about protecting, you know, the borders from bad things, we're all interested in that as a community. But we need to understand what is this that we clearly don't understand, and we don't understand what the reasons are, rationale, even why, on these private pilot stops that are more than 100 miles from the border that make no sense to us. We will be very involved.
We've talked about evaluating what you're going to be doing in the foreseeable future. And I realize at this stage of the game, many of these questions are horribly unfair, but that doesn't keep us from asking them, because we're journalists. The first rule is question authority and be obnoxious if you can. But how would you like to see the membership evaluate your leadership from their standpoint?
Well, I'll be out there, and you know, I enjoy a Saturday afternoon at the airport or a Sunday morning pancakes. I really do. I mean, I enjoy being part of that community in every part of the country, and I have flown in all 50 states. And I intend to continue to be out there because it's something I personally enjoy. I want to rally energy around the idea of welcoming, you know, the neighborhood to our airports that are public domain. I want to see aviation make the turn, you know, where it's not seen as, you know, just costly. It's fun, and it competes with a lot of other activities that people make choices on. But if it's expensive, not fun, not accessible, and overly regulated, it's going to be harder to compete for those consumable dollars and time. So I hope to see, you know, an outcome years from now, not months, years, that there are people enjoying flying Saturday afternoon at more airports than they are today.
Okay. You recently announced that there will be no AOPA national event after the summit in a couple of weeks. You indicated that you wanted to pursue regional events. Will we see no national event? I mean, can we look at possibility of the AOPA fly-in returning? And if it's going to be just regional events, what new information might you have on how those will come into being?
Well, I think for next year, for certain, we won't have the call it national summit event. Yet, you know, as AOPA will be celebrating its 75th anniversary here next year, I'd like to see that anniversary celebration take place here in Frederick and have a meeting and a rally around it. This is where, you know, the idea of protecting the next 75 years of aviation needed to be funneled, and energy needs to go towards protecting that. So there will be some type of event here. We don't have a date for it yet. Next year. Mm-hmm. The rest of these are regional events, the ones of significance, a couple very obvious, which is Air Venture and Sun and Fun and others that have the ability to attract a lot of people and enthusiasts. I want our brand and our organization to be there and answer questions and take input from current members or potentially new members and have a lot of fun in the field, if you will. But we will see way more of our members doing it that way than we will through a singular summit event.
Here's an interesting one. I thought this was kind of a cool question. how did you get this job?
No, it was a completely inbound surprise. And I have to tell you, it was a call that came in last spring, and I just couldn't believe it. It's a dream job, a dream responsibility, and an opportunity to make a steward role in something I care deeply about. As I went through the selection process and vetted a lot of candidates I know, the Board of Trustees and I came to an agreement that I think I can make a difference, and I'm going to try darn hard to make a difference for all the members. And ultimately, time will be the measurement of that.
One of the things that hasn't been touched on specifically is that there has been some, at times, inspired efforts over the years to work on GA at the state level with a lot of the volunteer cadre from across the country. What is AOPA looking to do to enhance its efforts on the state level?
Well, I think that we went from a kind of a volunteer group and contractors in 2012 to full-time staff in the field. And I think that's our first effort. You know, we do a great job, I think, here in Frederick at taking inbound from the concerned pilot population or airport volunteer network. I think we do a really good job, but I think we want to be outbound as well in terms of what's the best practice by state. What do we see that really works, and how do we kind of transform the state's energy around airports and protecting them? So I think, one state at a time.
One of the FAA's charter mandates was the promotion of aviation above and beyond other mission requirements. That got tossed out because certain Congress critters seem to think that it was a conflict of interest to promote an industry while it trying to regulate and enhance the safety and efficiency of that industry. There's been a lot of talk that having lost that, the relationship between FAA and aviation has diminished greatly. Would AOPA like to see that mandate restored to a certain extent? Is that even possible anymore?
A, I think it's possible. B, I think it's probable with one of the largest caucuses of any industry. I think we're at 223 in the General Aviation Caucus today. It's a fantastic support. I think it may be either the largest or second largest of all the caucuses. Energy around general aviation where those in the legislative group want to know more, will support knowing more, is very likely, I think, an outcome that we can get some type of general aviation policy making at some point in time. I think it could be very cool.
Hate to ask it, but eventually to come out in the 990s. How are you being compensated for this job?
Well, they set the compensation based on other organizations, and you'll see that next year at this time. It'll be transparent, and I'm hopeful. All these are always issues that I've seen in public companies that executive pay is always an issue. What I hope that members will give me the opportunity to do is provide great value and a long-term importance of aviation and AOPA that creates value for it.
This has been a special report of the Aero News Network, a conversation with AOPA President and CEO Mark Baker. This special report has been brought to you by Redbird Flight Simulations. I'm Glenn Moyer for the Aero News Network.